Wistful Thinking is brought to you by the Cage Club Podcast Network. For more podcasts about movies and nostalgia, visit cageclub.me. That's cageclub.me.
Welcome to Wistful Thinking, a podcast where we revisit beloved pieces of media from our youth to see if they're still as good all grown up. I'm Kara Gail O'Regan, and with me as always, I have my co-host Jordan Poling Clark.
Hi.
And her sister Allie is back, our first repeat guest who is not Joey.
Hi.
Welcome back.
Thanks. She gets to have a do-over because the first one that she chose was so difficult.
It was really hard.
It was terrible.
It was really bad.
We did, what was that called?
King Cole's Party.
King Cole's Party. Don't watch it. You're not missing much. Today, we'll be talking about the 1997 masterpiece, Spice World, starring none other than the Spice Girls. It's a movie that doesn't really have a plot, but it's an absurdist romp about the power of women's friendship and the emptiness of fame. And I loved this movie, and watching it again, I still love this movie. But Jordan apparently did not feel the same.
Really? I hate it.
I cannot believe it.
Wow. I had to stop I had to stop it 40 minutes in and take a break for a day and then come back to it.
Really?
I just hate it. Like, I think there's a version of this movie that is incredible, and this is not it.
Yeah, that's probably... I agree, but I still really like this one.
Mm-hmm. I still really loved it also.
Good. Yeah. I'm glad to hear it, because while I was watching it, I had a big, goofy smile on my face the entire time and laughed out loud so many times. It's so good. Yesterday I listened to the How Did This Get Made episode about it. They weren't big fans of the movie either, but they did call it A Hard Day's Night without the irony, which I misheard as A Long Day's Journey into Night without the irony, and that would be a very, very different movie. Do either of you have anything else to say before we
nope,
get into it?
That's it. Podcast over.
Yeah, podcast done. We did it. I remember loving this movie as like a 9-year-old and probably watching it like once a week and like trying to learn all the dance moves and like just loving every song.
Yeah.
And all of those memories came back while watching it.
Yeah.
I don't remember watching this, although I'm sure that I did. I was like 12. And they were, the Spice Girls were a big deal. But, like, I did not have those feelings watching it again. Like, I don't like their music. I feel like when I was young, I would be like, oh yeah, I like aspire to be one of them. Like, mm-hmm. I don't feel that way watching this now. Like, I don't.
Interesting.
I can't imagine why.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Probably no 30-year-old aspires to be a Spice Girl. No.
Right. I did write down that I still want to be a Spice Girl.
Which one?
I wrote that down in my notes. Well, what I've realized in recent years is that I'm no one Spice Girl. I'm all of the Spice Girls. Mm-hmm. All mixed together in one.
Yeah.
How about you two?
I think but that's if you, good. They're pretty
if
one-dimensional.
If you were a Spice Girl, who
they,
would you say?
Yeah, they are. I always had to be Ginger as a kid because I had red hair.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I always wanted to be Baby. Mostly because of the lollipops that she got to always eat.
She ate a lot of lollipops.
She ate a lot of,
she did.
Lot of lollipops.
Do you guys remember those like Spice Girl branded lollipops?
No.
Oh, they were
maybe
some sort of like fancy lollipop, and they were like clear on the top half and red on the bottom half.
I just and then, Googled it. I do remember it.
Yeah.
I think I remember that.
Wow. Yeah. They had Spice Girls candy. They must have
they
had
like,
Spice
Girls
everything.
Yeah. Truly. Like, they were
a big deal.
I do remember these lollipops.
The thing that's so wild, though, about the Spice Girls is that their whole, like, arc of super fame happened in, like, a year and a half,
so
2 years.
So fast. Yeah. And then Jerry left, and then everyone was like,
right.
Meh.
Yeah, like 5 months after this movie came out, she left the group.
Really?
Yeah.
Just that soon.
Yeah. Oh, Jordan, you didn't say which Spice Girl you would be.
Oh, Sporty.
Oh, yeah.
Because she could do a back handspring.
Right. Yeah. I think now I would be Sporty. But.
I always wanted to be Ginger, but had to be Scary because of my curly hair. So it's interesting that
it's funny that I said
Ginger because of your
red hair. It's all about the hair. Yeah, obviously.
Like that's always the thing when you're a kid, though, isn't it? Where you're like, you don't get to be the one that you wanted to be. Like when we used to play Ninja Turtles, I always wanted to be Michelangelo. But because I was a girl and they were all boys, I had to choose last. So I never got to be Michelangelo because everyone wanted to be him.
Hmm. Yeah.
Hmm.
I wonder if, do you think, like, all the really cool kids have stories of, like, getting to be the Spice Girl that they wanted to be?
I can think of one in particular that absolutely does. Yeah. Because one of my friends in, like, it must have been 1998, had a Spice Girl-themed birthday party. And, like, I don't know how that worked because there was definitely more than five people there, but, like, this one really popular girl, she, like, had to be Ginger Spice. And, like, her mom let her dye her hair. And, like, wow. No one else could be Ginger Spice. And so, yeah, she definitely has a story about how she got to be the Spice Girl that she wanted to be.
Wow.
I still hold it against you, Rebecca. But
which one would you be now?
Well, like I said, it would be a combination of all of them. Although I think I've really grown into Scary Spice. I've grown into my role as Scary Spice. Yeah. But I think if I was like, well, I'll let you two answer that question. And then I have another question.
About which one we'd be now?
Mm-hmm.
I think we both said we'd be Sporty Spice.
I think I would like to be a combination of Sporty and Ginger. Mm-hmm. Because mm-hmm. I really, like, in this movie, and like, I'm sure they kind of tried to stick to who they were a little bit, but in this movie, she's the smartest one.
She is. She's got those facts.
Yeah, she's always saying facts.
I love her facts.
And she's always like asking good questions, and they're all making fun of her because she's smart, but I like her.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you were a Spice Girl, but you weren't one of the pre-existing Spice Girls, what Spice would you be?
I was gonna make a really dumb joke and like
That's
paprika or something. But I don't know.
Okay, well, I've given this a lot of thought over the years. It would definitely be Sleepy Spice.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good question. I feel like I would need to ask
somebody else. It'd be like Homebody Spice.
Shut in Spice.
You would be you would be like Organized Spice.
Yeah. Punctual Spice.
I would be like Whiny Spice. I like, they all chose, like, cool words, and none of us could think of any cool words for ourselves.
Oh, no, it's not that I can't think of a cool word. It's just that, like, there's nothing that I am more than sleepy.
Then there you go. It fits very well.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a lot of things that I am more than I am whiny, but I wouldn't want that to be the first thing that I told somebody if I was presenting myself.
Yeah, I wouldn't go with that.
But the other advantage of being Sleepy Spice is that I would just get to wear pajamas all the time.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
That's true. That would be your wardrobe. Like, Whiny Spice and Organized Punctual Spice don't really come with, like, outfits that are clear what they are.
Right.
Well, back to the movie. Like I said, this doesn't have much of a plot. It kind of has a plot, which is that the Spice Girls are preparing for their first ever live performance.
Yeah, right. Meanwhile, at Royal Albert Hall, start off with a live performance,
but not like a concert. That's like a small.
It's like I think it was like a TV setting.
But So when they first did this on How Did This Get Made, they talk about that as being the plot. And I was like, what the what? Like, what are you talking about? Their first performance. So I looked it up, and, like, that's real. Like, they were super duper famous before they ever even did a big concert.
Really?
Yeah.
I think, yeah.
Yeah, because they were, like, assembled.
Right.
And they were, you know, a product to be sold.
Right.
Before ever actually performing live. But anyway, so they're preparing for this concert, and they have this pregnant friend, and she comes in and out of the story kind of as needed. And then also there's a documentary crew kind of following them around, making a very bad documentary. Just technically not gonna, whoever has to edit that, I feel very sorry for them. But then there's also, in addition to the documentary crew, two American film producers / writers who are trying to pitch a movie to their manager. So,
and it might be the movie that we're watching.
Right.
And it may or may not be the movie, though.
Right. They never tell us.
They never really clear that up.
Right. But as they cut back to these pitches that their manager is getting, we actually get to see little vignettes of what those movies would be, including Spice Force 5, which I would love to see that movie, where they play, like, spies with superpowers and stuff.
Totally.
What else? There's also other vignettes that don't have anything to do with the movie pictures.
They're all just, right. Like, this, like, to me, like, this part is the part of the movie that could have been so funny and so weird, and it just does the weird part, kind of. But it's, like, that kind of, like, silliness and those vignettes are so British and silly, but, like, they're just, I don't like the way they did them.
Oh, I like that. Well, I don't like the way that they, like, necessarily brought them all together, but I do really enjoy the vignettes. Do you have a favorite one?
I honestly can't remember any of them, except for the one where they were, like, they got off the bus to pee, and they end up in the woods, and then, like, Jerry has to kiss, like, what is essentially an alien.
Yeah.
But that, like, so are we talking about, like, the, like, that stuff, or, like, the sequences where they, like, they cut to a moment where, like, baby's in court for, or she's on trial for murder, and then she, like, smiles, and is like, I didn't do it.
Yeah, I mean, there's not, like, a lot of, there's not a very clear line between that stuff and
there were some
ostensibly actually happens to them in real life, so
I did a bad job paying attention at some of this, and I would look down and look back up and be like, I don't understand if this is real or fake.
I feel like I could tell the difference. I mean, obviously the whole movie is weird, and we don't know if we're watching the movie that's being made or whatever, but like there was this sequence where they all had kids and they were like, or they were talking about their kids, and I think
where they're
Jerry's
like
super
sometime in the distant future, but really they're just in their 30s.
Right.
Which is funny because most of them actually had kids like even before they were 30.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Yeah.
Well, and, like, how old were they in this movie, when they made this
movie? In their early
20s. Like, 20s, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Except Jerry. She's, like, 3 years older than the rest of them, I think.
But even, that means, like, I mean, I think Baby Spice was, like, 21 or something, so she was 25.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. I liked those moments. I mean, the movie, like, to me, this movie is stupid and silly and weird, but that's why I like it.
Yeah.
So I like those moments.
I'm also, like, a big fan of a lot of British television, which I think helps, because I have a lot of, especially, like, now, as an adult, having seen that much more of it, I have, like, a much better frame of reference than I think a lot of Americans do for some of what happens in the movie, and, like, a lot of the cameos and stuff are, like, the people that actually show up in these weird vignettes are, like, major British celebrities, right. Which makes it kind of
very
weirder and
movie.
Funnier.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's astounding that it was successful in the U.S. at all. But
like anything they did would have been successful.
Yeah, and I feel like as a kid, like, I didn't think of it as a British movie. It was just a movie that the Spice Girls were in that I liked, you know?
Yeah, and now retrospectively, it's, like, such a British movie. Right. It also has Roger Moore in it for one of the James Bonds. And his character doesn't make any sense at all. He just is like this weird guy who answers the phone and says weird things when the manager calls.
Is he the one with all the animals?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
He says things like, when the rabbit of chaos is pursued by the ferret of disorder through the fields of anarchy, it's time to hang your pants on the hook of darkness, whether they're clean or not. That was one of the times that I laughed so hard because it makes no sense and it's wonderful. But I actually had to purchase a DVD to watch this because it's not streaming anywhere. And so I was like, ooh, what kind of special features do they have on this DVD? Not much. But they did have the theatrical trailer. And there's some stuff in the theatrical trailer that is not in the movie. And in the trailer, they introduce his character as, like, as James Bond, essentially, that, like, when shit goes down, Britain and the world turns to one person in particular. It cuts to Roger Moore. And then they say, and when he's not available, they turn to the Spice Girls. So that, like, gave me so much more context for his character, I think, than I, like, you get from actually watching the movie.
Do you think maybe, like, all the characters are like that in this movie? Like, the first cut of it was, like, 3 hours long. And they were like, well, they did.
Yeah, they did actually have to cut out some stuff. Shortly before the movie came out, they had to cut mentions of Princess Diana and Johnny Versace because they, like, had just died. And also Gary Glitter, now convicted child pornographer, I guess, filmed a 4-minute cameo as himself, but shortly before the film was released, got arrested, so they had to cut that out. Wow. So that whole piece of the movie when they're in Italy, he was somehow involved in that scene where they're making, like, that weird music video with the butt guys.
They were in Italy in that part?
Yeah, they were in Milan.
Yeah.
I did not pick up on that.
Yeah, I mean, the only reason that you know that is because there is, like, you see, like, a plane, and it says, like, on the way to Milan. I mean, it's just, like, a weird series of ideas, none of which are, like, fully fleshed out, all kind of propped up against this larger arc of them preparing to perform.
It's like 10 music videos.
Yeah.
With, like, weird vignettes in between.
Yeah.
But if that's what they did, I would have liked this better.
Yeah.
Because that wouldn't even be trying to have a plot. It would be, like, a weird sketch comedy show, and I would be so on board for that.
Well, the other thing that I, like, picked up on plot-wise was, like, their struggle with fame and, like, not wanting to be, like, you know, scheduled and have all these. They want their freedom, you know?
And also just like I said in the intro, like the emptiness of it and how like no one genuinely like aside from each other and their pregnant friend, like no one wants to like actually know them or be in their lives. They just are obsessed with them because they're famous.
Right. And that makes me wonder, like, since they helped write this movie, like how much of that is or felt true for them.
Yeah,
I'm sure that it's very true.
Yeah.
This is another thing, though, that I think they just could have done a better job at, and it would have been much more, like, I would have been able to have a lot more feelings about it, but, like, their fame is so inconsistent. Like, in the beginning, they can't walk out the front door because there's, like, screaming people, and then the night before their concert, they just go out to a club and nobody notices them, even though they're singing their own song.
They're dancing to their own music. Yeah.
Like, if they had tried to go out to that club with their friend and had been, like, bombarded and, like, not able to do it, like, that's so much more effective at telling that story.
Yeah.
Than just being like, oops, they're not famous right now.
Although I would posit this, that everyone in the club has, you know, like what they're wearing or like all sorts of things. And Posh even remarks on it. She was like, what even is the dress code here? So it's possible that they were able to fly under the radar because people just assumed they were costumes.
Heck no. I don't believe that for a second.
I tried.
Yeah. I did like their relationship with their friend a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they're like, they didn't give a shit about men, like, at all.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and that was great.
Yeah.
Even for their friend. Like, she was, like, in the beginning of the movie when she's first introduced, she, like, comes in where they're all hanging out, and so, like, all six of them are just sitting together, and they're like, oh, like, how's Trevor? And she's like, he left. Like, very casual. Her baby right. daddy left her, and she's, like, about to have a baby, and she doesn't seem to care.
Yeah, she cares, but...
like, barely. And, like, yeah. like, part of me was like, cool, like, they don't need a man. But also, like, he left her with yeah. their baby.
Yeah. But I feel like that feeds the whole, you know, girl power, and we're here yeah, to support you.
I'm sure that's
you.
Why.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's why they did yeah. that. But yeah, I liked that they, like, had this friend who was not famous.
Right.
And they were just like, no, friendship and loyalty and all this.
Yeah, and they all seem to really actually like each other.
Right.
Like, they have really good chemistry and camaraderie. And I would also say, they're not bad actresses.
No. Yes, they are.
They're terrible actresses.
They're
playing, like, more extreme versions of themselves. Yeah. So I feel like they just have to be, you know, extra. And it comes off.
Yeah, that's true.
Comes off fine. But it, you know, they're silly.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine for what this is, but right. they're not actresses.
Did any of them act after?
Yeah, some of them did. Here's my fun bus factoid that I talked about before we started recording. So at some point in this movie, there's a bomb on the bus for some reason on their way to their concert. So the bomb on the Spice bus sequence parodied Speed. From 1994, in which a bus that is rigged to explode if it drops below 50 miles per hour, Keanu Reeves, who played Jack in that film, starred opposite of Lori Petty in Point Break. And Emma, Victoria, and Jerry, all three of them, auditioned for the lead role in Tank Girl, which actually
really?
Went to Lori Petty. Hmm. Yeah. Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
I would love to see Jerry in Tank Girl. She'd be so good.
Except she still can't act, I don't think.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's, like, part of my problem with their acting is, like, exactly what you said, Allie, which is that, like they were already characters, and now they're playing, like, heightened version of those characters because they're in this movie. It's just, like, not... It's so one-dimensional.
Yeah.
And, like, cartoonish.
Yeah. But I feel like that's... the point.
I guess. I just want more for them than that.
Yeah. But I feel like that also, like, plays into, like, because there's parts where they talk about how they're stereotyped and, like, how they don't want to be. And I'm sure that a lot of that is also real feelings.
Yeah, like the scene where they all dress up like each other. And
yeah, I love that scene so much. I love it. When they're just dressing up, like, as, like, when there's, like, a Sandy and a Danny from Greece. I love that.
Oh, my God. Every time that Sporty Spice is in drag, I just, like, die a little bit. Like, in the best way. She should do that more often. do you guys... Because, I mean, what's the best part about this movie, obviously, is, like, the outfits.
Yes. 100% agree.
Any favorite looks?
I hate all of them.
I love when they're all in the white in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
That has always stood out to me the most. And, like, they're all, you know, it's like they match, but they all have their own version of this white outfit.
Well, they do that in the boot camp scene, too, where they all have camo, but they all have it styled differently. Yeah. I love that.
I remember, like, turning that part, or rewinding that part back so much as a kid trying to learn that chant.
Strength and courage and wonder bra. Yep. Yeah.
And their shoes, their platform shoes.
Those shoes are bonkers.
They're ridiculous.
They are so ridiculous. They were actually more ridiculous than I remembered them being.
Because they're like 5 or 6 inches of just platform.
They're so tall.
I don't know how they walked in them.
I just feel like everything they wore was like the worst part about the 90s. And their hair was like the worst part about the 90s. It's like the stuff you don't want to look back and see yourself wearing.
I would still wear pretty much everything in this movie, including but not limited to, at one point, Scary Spice is wearing what I thought was just a zebra print blazer, but it turns out it's like a zebra print blazer over a zebra print jumpsuit. That's amazing.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's really great.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, of course I'd never want to see myself with that hairstyle or those clothes, but seeing it on them is so cool. Like, they were just so cool to me. And they still are. I still think they're so cool.
Agree.
And, like, I don't think that I ever listened... Like, I didn't listen to their CDs. I just, you know, would listen to the songs on the radio and really just watch this movie over and over again. And I don't know, I just loved it so much.
Yeah, did you know they were actually recording Spice World while they were also filming?
Really?
Yeah. So they really were, like, as busy as they are in this movie.
Hmm.
Because they were, like, doing appearances and performances and recording and starring in a movie.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it really is a lot. Their bus driver is...
It's Meatloaf! There's a part at the end where he's, like, dancing while they're performing, and that was one of my favorite parts.
Well, he, not only is he in the movie, but a man by the name of Richard O'Brien, who plays the creepy photographer guy, mm-hmm. Was riff-raff in Rocky Horror Picture Show. So it actually reunited the two of them.
Oh.
From 1975.
That's why when I Google Spice World, another movie that it suggests for me is Rocky Horror Picture Show. Is that why, do you think?
Probably.
Yeah, probably.
Because that happened yesterday, and I was like, I don't know about that.
I mean, I think it's part of a lineage, maybe.
Sure.
I mean, they're both musical movies.
Another cameo, but I mean, I'm assuming before he was in much, but Dominic West, who is in The Wire and a bunch of other stuff, he plays a photographer in this.
Yeah, it was one of his first roles, and I saw him, and I was like, oh, who is that guy? He looks really
familiar.
It was
hard to identify him second.
Who did he play?
He was a photographer when they were, I don't know, what photo shoot was that?
Oh.
It was, like, pretty early in the movie.
Okay.
We have other factoids here. Both Stephen Fry and Hugh Laurie are in this. They came to fame as Hugh and Laurie, but most people in the U.S. know Stephen Fry as Dr. House.
Mm-hmm.
He admitted on an episode of QI, which is a British talk show, that he took the role in the film because it allowed him to get autographed posters of the Spice Girls for his nephews, which he claimed was like 10 Christmases for them. Apparently a lot of the people who did cameos in this movie did it so that they could get like autograph stuff for their kids and nephews or whatever.
There were some interesting
there people. Was also one of the guys from Kids in the Hall.
Oh yeah, he's one of the American
he's only the writer American. guy. Oh, no, there's two Americans,
Yeah, it was him and George Wendt from...
Right.
TV. Stuff.
And, like, Elvis Costello is the bartender.
Mm-hmm.
And Elton John's in it for, like, 3 seconds.
Elton John isn't, and I forgot.
He, he's like, in the very I don't, beginning. I don't, yeah, in the very beginning, they like hug and kiss, and then they're like, okay, bye. Like, and that's it. Yeah,
apparently he and the Spice Girls are very good friends, and he is the godfather to at least some of their children.
Yeah. You know, yeah, I'm looking at their outfits in the Wannabe video, and I do like their outfits in the Wannabe video. I think they're wearing, like, the, like, bare minimum of what their character requires, mm-hmm. and I do really like it. But I think everything else...
You like
else,
the toned-down like, version.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that sequin bodysuit that Jerry wears is so good.
So out of place. I really like it. She's, like, never wearing pants.
Yeah.
She is never wearing pants. You're so right.
She'll wear, like, that's a huge like jacket and then just, like, no pants.
Yeah. Wow.
Sorry, I got distracted. Also looking at
that's okay.
pictures.
Well, and then there's also the whole storyline of, like, the newspaper tabloid guy who wants to take them down.
Who's supposed to be Rupert Murdoch, and he just hates the Spice Girls so much. Even though, like, and he hates them because they're on the cover of his tabloid every day, but, like, they're selling really well because the Spice Girls are on the cover. It's very confusing as to why he doesn't like them.
I mean, he wants to take down girl power, I think is what he says.
Which is pretty on brand for Rupert Murdoch, I guess.
There's a lot of men in this movie who are trying to exploit them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They seem pretty immune to it, which I like. Because mm-hmm. They're basically just like, haha, silly men, they think they can tell us what to do. Haha, right. We're going to do whatever we want anyway. And that's kind of how they treat, like, everybody. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's a lot of, like, evil men behind closed doors, like, deciding how they're going to exploit the Spice Girls.
Oh, that's so weird. I wonder where they got that idea.
No, that never happens.
I thought I would have so much more to say about this movie, but it just brings me so much joy that I can't really translate into actual words.
What's your favorite part?
Oh my goodness. My favorite part. That's so hard to say.
What came to your mind first?
I think the boot camp scene.
Why were they also, doing that?
I don't
know.
Well,
the guy was supposed to be a dance teacher, but then didn't know how to dance.
Yeah, they were much better dancers than him. But, like, immediately following that, like, the next morning, they're all hanging out in this beautiful, like, colorful garden tent in their bathrobes, just, like, hanging out.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
Yeah. I love
that. You know, basically, like, any time that they're just, like, hanging out, just being themselves, I really like that. But I also like the parts where they're doing character work.
Yeah.
I like the
part. So I just like the whole thing.
I like the part when they were in their bathrobes because they all had the same outfit on.
Mm-hmm.
Just a different color.
But different colors.
But different colors, yeah. And it was, like, appropriate colors, too. Like, Baby had the pink one on, whatever. But, like, I like it when they're not in their costumes. Because, like, I don't like that part of it. I think that part of it's icky. Like, I'm going to use the word one-dimensional again. But, like, I just think it's gross. Because, like, also, like, they had to do that in real life, and I think that's gross.
Yeah.
Like, they're in, I'm sure, even more in real life than in this movie, there is a bunch of creepy-ass men, you know, figuring out how they were going to make a shit ton of money off them, and that required them to be these one-dimensional people.
Right.
And I don't like that at all.
Yeah, I didn't think about that, but that's so true.
Stop ruining this, Jordan.
I can't help it. I have my lady lens on.
I'm sorry. Yeah. No, I mean, you're right. You're definitely right. I just really like fun costumes.
I do, too. I like costumes. But, like, I think to call this empowering and, like, call this girl power, like, it's not.
Yeah.
There are some parts, like, that are on the right path.
Right.
But no.
Yeah, that would have been a totally different movie. You're right.
So if we remade it today, what would the plot be?
Would they be... Would they... So, we... Before we started recording, Kara and I were watching, like, their reunion shows. So, like, The Spice Girls now or The Spice Girls 10 years ago. And I liked that so much better than watching them when they were in their early 20s. because they look like women now. They look mm-hmm. like empowered. They look happy. They are still kind of in character, but not nearly like they were 20 years ago. And I actually enjoy watching that much more. And even though I'm sure there's still some kind of like icky exploitation to it, like for some reason I attach much more like power to them doing this as like full grown adults. And yeah. like I could mm-hmm. be totally wrong. Like I don't know their lives, I don't know their stories, I don't know how they got here, but.
Well, because most of them are, like, they've already been famous, they already have money, although I was reading some of their Wikipedia articles, and at least Mel B has had some financial issues, but, like, it's not like they're not caught in that, like, vortex of super fame, right. like they were in the 90s, where like they just had to keep going and going and going and going because like what if this all goes away, and then it did.
Yeah.
You know, so like the fact that they're getting back together later on, it's like more of a choice to be doing this stuff, and they are adults and they know themselves better, and
right.
and they know that they don't have to do the full character.
Yeah, and they're already like established.
Yeah. And for the obsession that our culture has with youth, I think that people really do get better as they age
yeah.
because mm-hmm. they are more comfortable with themselves and they know more about the world and life and, you know.
Right.
Well, and it yeah. was cool. Like, what other girl group can you think of that performs in their 30s? Are there any?
I don't know, probably not.
Just to see like 5 30 something women like yeah. performing together and like dancing together, like that's cool.
Yeah
it is,
because they're not even that old, but it's like old, just older than you usually see, you know. And like, they still look yeah. great.
Yeah, the woman actually that plays their manager's assistant, Deborah,
mm-hmm.
She is on, well, it's not on anymore, but she was on this wonderful British show called Home Fires, mm-hmm. which is about, it takes place during World War II, and it's a small village in, like, northwest England, and the women have, like, come together to, like, you know, keep the town together and, like, keep their families fed and whatever. And she's on that show, and she's really good.
Hmm. Actually, I liked her in this, but they didn't use her enough.
They didn't.
No, they definitely yeah. didn't. But go watch Home Fires. It's good. It's sad,
Home
but it's good.
Fires.
In watching, like, the opening credits of this, my first note about this movie is this is a lot of cheesy hand motions. And, like... can you imagine, like, your life, and also you had to do that amount of cheesy hand motions? Like,
and
they have to do
fake
a
sexy
lot
face.
Of it. Like, I can't even imagine having to do that.
I do have a habit of gesticulating wildly while I talk, though, so it's, it's actually not that hard to imagine. I'm a hand talker.
Yeah, I don't know. I had a note about that too, about the opening, about like just the silly faces they had to make in the camera. I mean, they're not silly. They're supposed to be sexy, but they kind of come
off
as
so
silly.
Over the top.
Right.
They are silly.
And how many times they probably had to shoot that.
Yeah.
I do
still like very much like women and like young women through like a man's gaze.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's yeah, I don't know where I was gonna go with that.
I did like there was that one in the beginning when they're in that room rehearsing. They do actually. It seems like at least they do actually sing during mm-hmm. that one rehearsal song.
Yeah, it's like a really nice kind of acoustic version
yeah.
of.
Although, then the I guess like the musical director, I guess is he says something like. What does he say? I wrote it down somewhere.
Oh,
yeah.
He was like, that was absolutely perfect without actually being any good. something like that. It's like, well,
which is bullshit because it was great.
What do you mean by that?
Also, yeah, what does that mean?
Right. Like, oh, that was great, except I don't actually like any of this music. I don't know. It's weird.
I also think it's, I might be thinking too hard about this, but so they have this whole like girl power like thing that also required that all five of them be best friends with each other. Mm-hmm. And like, you don't see that in like man groups, boy bands, man groups, boy bands, you know, like true. They're not like, and maybe the girls are doing it right. And maybe the men, we should see that more for men, but do you know what I mean? Like they like, they need to have this relationship with each other that like definitely is not required of boy bands.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, because if they weren't best friends, then the story like would be entirely about how they all hate each other.
Right.
You know what
true.
I mean?
That's
like
true.
That's one of, like, as much as I love watching the Olympics, that's like the thing, especially in figure skating, something that like really bothers me a lot is that they'll play up this like rival, which I apparently is how sports work. Listen, I'm not that into sports. This is my least favorite part of sports, is like that there's rivalry between people, and it's, and they do it with the women in a way that they don't do it with the men, and I find it really distasteful.
Yeah.
It makes me upset every time it happens.
I also love at the end when the two movie pitch guys are, they're in the dressing room and they're like narrating the what's happening, and they're about to jump the bus over the bridge, or the bridge, and the one guy goes, "It's expensive," and then they show a toy version doing it.
Yeah, I did like that too.
That was funny.
It's like a slide whistle.
Yeah.
Like, jumping over the bridge.
I did also like the last scene, like that's during the credits. I think that was my favorite scene in the movie.
Well, yeah, because that's like everyone is out of character.
Well, so is that scene like, is that supposed to be them making the movie that we just saw, or the movie that the guys are? I mean, it's unclear, I guess. But
yeah, I couldn't decide either.
Because they're, like, meeting people like they haven't met them before.
Yeah, I think it's just supposed to be, like, a behind-the-scenes.
Yeah.
It's just unclear as to which scenes it's behind.
I think that...
Whether it's the movie or the movie within the movie.
I think that they're getting together to shoot the movie that we just saw a fantasy of. That's the only thing that makes sense.
Right.
But the one of them, I don't know their names, the one of the movie producer guys is there, like, directing them, kind of? I don't know. It's confusing.
It's confusing, and nobody tried to, like, put it back together. They were like, yeah, no, it's fine, just leave it.
It is what it is.
But I do like also when they're like all five of them come up to the camera and they're like pretending that they're looking at us and like talking to us.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, someone like might be watching this on video. Like, what, is there nothing better on TV? I like that.
There's nothing as good as Spice World. So
I don't know. I watched Jessica Jones yesterday and it was better than this.
Yeah, the first season or the new season?
The new season. I like came home last night to watch this. And I watched that instead.
Okay.
All right.
That's a strong endorsement.
Yeah. I watched the first episode. I liked it. I have to keep watching season two.
I like her. She's complicated.
Yeah. I like her too.
Yeah. I really like that show. I only saw the first season, but it is very good. It's like one of the best representations of PTSD that I've seen on screen.
Wow.
Possibly the best.
I also watched Wonder Woman yesterday.
Oh.
But I only watched...
I still haven't seen it. I'm not emotionally ready.
You only watched what?
I didn't watch the first, like, 45 minutes of it, which is apparently the part where they're on the Lady Island.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I've seen that part.
So I didn't see that part, and it is a very terrible movie if you don't see that part, I think. Because, like, all the reviews I read, like, really, like, complimented that part. But if you don't see that, all you see is a token girl for 2 hours. Like, she's literally the only... I think there's another woman, like, once. But, like, it. She's just, like, this girl with all these dudes. Because they didn't bother to write a story that made sense to have other women in it. Like, they trapped her in, like, kind of real-life World War One. And so then it makes sense that there's not women around her, I guess, because she's in the action.
Yeah.
But it's like, that's not the story you had to tell.
Right. Yeah, that was the problem. That was the problem I had with it, too. But yes, there are women in the movie in the beginning.
Yeah, the first part's great.
And it's beautiful, too, where they are. It's beautiful.
Maybe I'll watch it one day.
I'm just, like, saving it for, like, when I am in the right place, because I know I'm going to cry a lot, and it's going to be emotional. But one of the things that they brought up on How Did This Get Made, Back to Spice World, is that, like, in movies, when babies get born, it's a boy, and they say it's a boy, like, 98% of the time. Huh. So in this movie... it's actually a girl that gets born, and they say it's a girl. So at least there was that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Girl power.
Oh, man. I did not like how stupid they were during that part, though. Like, she goes into labor, and they all become the dumbest people who've ever lived.
Yeah. I mean, not everyone's good in a crisis.
Not one of the five of them can figure out how to...
Yeah, they had their rubber gloves on. They knew what to do.
Like, I just don't appreciate how often their dumbness was played up for laughs. There are other ways to be funny than to make a woman stupid.
Yeah, and I think that, like, they might not be the best actresses, but I think that at least some of them have really good comedic timing.
Yeah.
And they could have done more comedy that didn't involve them, you know, being stupid. Yeah.
Especially, like, the dynamic between the five of them. They hardly use that at all. That could be hilarious.
Right.
Yeah.
I feel like when they did use that, it was they were fighting. They were arguing about something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it was written by two dudes and directed by a dude, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's like all that I have about it to say about it, which is surprising because I really enjoyed this so much.
You just love it so much.
Yeah.
The other best line in the movie is when Clifford's mad at them and is yelling at them, and who is it? Somebody goes, you know, like, you know, fun, like, ha 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 ha. Oh, that's like the line that always sticks out.
Ha 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 ha.
That, I also remember that was in the trailer. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember that the most.
Yeah. They also, at some point, all of the toilets on the bus are backed up. And so Meatloaf is talking to their manager, and he asks him to, like, unclog the toilets. And he says that he would do that he loves the girls, he would do anything for them, but I won't do that. It's a reference to Meatloaf's single, I Would Do Anything for Love, parentheses, but I won't do that. Whatever that is. Oh, another thing that they said on How Did This Get Made, a lot of balcony work in this movie. And there is. There is, like, a lot. People are on balconies, like, a lot.
I didn't notice that.
It's, yeah, I don't think I would have noticed it if I hadn't listened to somebody point it out the day beforehand, but a lot of balconies.
Huh. I can't even think of one.
Well, when they're in the nightclub,
okay.
At first, they're on a balcony.
Oh, yeah.
They leave their friend up there.
Right, and at the cocktail party.
Yep, there's a balcony in the cocktail party scene. There are balconies whenever, like, at the performance place, but also in the rehearsal hall.
Right.
I'm probably missing a few balconies, and there really, truly were.
Yeah, no, now that you pointed out.
The film is included on Roger Ebert's Most Hated list.
Huh. I read his review. It's funny. He hated it. He hated it. And it's short, too. Like, he could hardly even say anything about it.
Really?
Well, I mean, if you go into this, like, expecting that you're going to watch, like, a capital M movie or,
no,
like, a
but he
L.
doesn't, though. He had a sense of humor. Like, that's not how he views all the movies. He's not a snob.
Yeah. It's just impossible for me to imagine anyone not enjoying this movie because it's just such a delight, at least for me.
I think that part of my problem with it, maybe, is that, like, I hated being 12 and I hated being 13. Like, that age was horrible.
I did too.
Yeah.
So, like,
I agree.
I don't look back on this time, like, happily.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's really interesting that you bring that up, because I am a year younger than you. Mm-hmm. So this came out when I was, like, I guess 11, which was, like, just before I hit everything is terrible territory.
Right. And mm-hmm. I'm 3.5 years younger than you, so I was 7, 8. So.
Yeah. So we were really, like, right in that target demo.
But I could totally see how you would relate that to this.
Trying to think of something that would have, like, happened when I was 12 that I would hate because it just came out at that time.
Let's see, it would have been,
like, 1999?
Yeah. What happened in 1999?
The midst of Y2K, it was a crazy time. Oh, but I did love Titanic.
Everyone loved Titanic.
Funny Titanic story. My friend Casey was, like, obsessed with Leonardo DiCaprio, and right around when Titanic came out, I guess it would have been after Titanic, because there wound up some Titanic references wound up in this project. Her parents got, I don't know if it was a treadmill, maybe it was a new refrigerator, it was something that came in an extremely large cardboard box that she turned into, like, a clubhouse, but, like, a Leonardo DiCaprio themed clubhouse.
Sounds great.
So there were, like, pictures of him cut out of, like, the teen magazines and stuff all up in there. Yeah. Those are the innocent days before everything got terrible, I think.
My only other notes are Mel B has a kid with Eddie Murphy? !!
Oh, yeah.
Because she does.
Yeah. She does.
I did not know that until I was Googling.
Yeah.
And that both Sporty Spice and Jerry were bulimic. Like,
really?
Fame was not kind to them.
I mean, are you surprised?
No, but, like, I feel like it just needs to be talked about.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, because, like, they're, you know, so much of it, of their fame was wrapped up in their image.
Right.
Well, and especially Sporty, like, you know, she had muscles. Like, she was, you know, she wasn't a built like a small girl.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she was.
And
if
Jerry
you compare
is, like,
her
she was small,
people.
But.
Yeah. It's Endometriosis Awareness Month, and I read in Emma's Wikipedia article that at some point she was diagnosed with endometriosis. Huh. So, how about that? I mean, that sucks for her, but 1 in 10 menstruators will have it at some point in their life.
Yeah.
Okay, here's the top 5 movies from 1999. I feel like you wouldn't have feelings about any of these, though.
Try me.
The Sixth Sense is 1.
Okay.
Toy Story 2 is 2.
Okay.
Austin Powers, The Spy Who Shagged Me is 3.
Which
is that
one
the
is
first?
That?
That's
Austin
the first
Powers?
One. Yeah.
That's the first one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or no, Matrix. It's the second one, because Man of Mystery is the first one.
Yeah, International Man of Mystery, because I loved the first one.
Yeah.
The Matrix.
Okay.
And Tarzan. Tarzan was the 5th biggest movie?
What?
The cartoon or the live action one?
The cartoon.
Um, Are you looking at the Flavor Wire article?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, American Beauty, Boys Don't Cry, Eyes Wide Shut, Fight Club.
Interesting.
I was looking.
It's not that I don't have feelings about these, but I just feel like I saw all of them much later. Because none of those were things that I should have been watching at that age.
I was looking up general, like, pop culture in 1999.
Can I read you the top five songs? Maybe that will help.
Yes.
Baby One More Time by Britney Spears is number one.
Okay, classic.
Mambo number five is number two.
Also classic.
Blue
is
number three.
Oh, LeAnn Rimes?
No, Eiffel 65.
That song.
Okay.
Oh my God. About that song?
That just have a lot of memories attached to that song.
Yeah.
How ridiculous it was.
Oh man, 1999, what a good year for pop music.
Yeah. Number four is No Scrubs by TLC.
Mm-hmm.
And number five is I Want It That Way.
Wow.
All of my memories, or not all memories, but like I remember listening to most of those songs like at Livingston Gymnastics, like on the team.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Or like in
and, like,
carpool.
Betsy being mad at us that we were singing.
Maybe 2000 was the year when everything got terrible.
Probably. Yeah, because those songs are pretty good.
Yeah.
I think, so I had a realization while we were talking about that. I feel like for me, there was like a divide between the stuff that I was supposed to like and the stuff that I actually liked.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I feel like, for me, the Spice Girls was a thing that I was supposed to like, but, like, Austin Powers was a thing that I actually liked.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
You were a alternative teenager.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
That's not the word I wanted
that,
to
like,
use.
Not that, like, Austin Powers
is
a...
No, but, like how I was probably, like, 10 when that came out.
Right.
Like, it wasn't, like, everybody else's favorite movie.
But I remember you watching it, so because you watched it, I watched it. Like, I remember watching that movie a lot. And I was probably too young for it, but... Mom and Dad didn't care.
I mean, they just thought I had good taste, so they were like, yeah, it's fine.
Yeah. 2000, the iPod came out.
Mm-hmm.
So...
And Freaks and Geeks, and that I remember being really important to me, because I was like, oh, okay, good. Like, there are other Freaks and Geeks out there.
Wow, that was 2000?
Yeah.
Wow.
18 years ago.
Well, I mean, I didn't watch it until, like, fairly recently.
Oh, okay. No, I loved that show when it was on. I did my part to keep it on the air, but no one else did.
Now I'm just looking at pop culture lists from the early 2000s.
I couldn't find as good a list for 2000, like the Good Flavor Wire one.
Yeah,
for
neither.
I found 28 pop culture moments that will transport you to the early 2000s.
Ooh, share that in the Discord.
Yeah, I'm going to. It's a pretty good list. But it is, like, it's when, like... Like, it's when, like, Christina Aguilera and, like, Britney, like, went from cute to, like, sexy.
Sexy!
Oh,
like,
is it when they kissed?
Extremely sexy.
No, I think
that was, like, 2002,
I think
maybe.
I think that was later. But, like, I'm a Slave for You came out, and, like, Moulin Rouge, you know, with Christina Aguilera and Lil' Kim and that song.
Yeah,
the Lady Marmalade song.
Ooh, Ghost World.
What Hot American Summer?
Why are flip-flops on this list?
Wait, really?
Yeah, number nine, Flip Flops.
Oh, I missed that.
Do we not know those now?
An invention of the early 2000s?
I guess people just wore a lot of them. Hmm. But they still do, so...
flip-flops? Right? I finally got to that part. What? Those people also are not wearing 90s clothes in that flip-flop
no,
picture.
No, they're not.
I like how it's listed as Britney Spears did strange things with a snake at the VMAs.
That was like a big deal.
It was, yeah.
Ah, the Royal Tenenbaums.
Oh, it was the beginning of Josh Hartnett.
Shakira's hips are truth tellers par excellence. And they tell us to buy Pepsi.
Well, this is a good one. 60 pictures that perfectly capture the 2000s.
Ooh, I wonder what kind of eyebrows we're going to see.
We should just do an eyebrow podcast.
We should.
Do you talk about eyebrows a lot?
Yeah.
Lately, yes.
Really?
Yeah. We've, like, taught Joey a lot of things about eyebrows that he didn't know before. He notices eyebrows on his own sometimes now.
Wow. I definitely notice eyebrows.
Yeah. We were raised to notice eyebrows.
Yeah, it's true. Our mother pointed them out a lot.
Number one on this list of 60 pictures that perfectly capture the 2000s that you just sent us is like the first generation iMac. Those bubble computers. Uh-huh. Oh man, I loved those. I wanted one so badly. And now they're so goofy looking.
Yeah, they're weird. I remember my best friend growing up, her brother had one, but we like weren't allowed to touch it.
I should also mention that posing with the iMac are both Ja Rule and Nelly.
Right.
At a Sprite.com website launch party. Tom Green. Doing Tom Green things. Cisco enthusiastically holding a Cisco-branded thong with purple-tinted sunglasses. Oh, man. Destiny's Child. 4 of them.
Wow.
Oh my god, Justin Timberlake can barely have facial hair in this picture. Oh, and his outfit's terrible. Justin, what were you doing?
Oh, he had some rough years.
All of these outfits are awful. Wow, BB Ryan Seacrest.
Hillary Duff and Aaron Carter sharing a tender moment on the red carpet of the Lizzie McGuire movie.
All right, I think we are done talking about Spice World.
Yeah, I think you're right.
We're just looking at pictures on the internet. And there aren't even eyebrows in the pictures.
A great podcast.
They're not what?
There are some of them. I mean, look at this picture of J-Lo and Justin Timberlake and Halle Berry. Look at how small their eyebrows are. And look, in the background, Juicy Couture sweatsuit.
Wow.
Baby blue. Velour. Terrible
yeah,
look.
That is a lot of,
can't
yeah.
believe those
but
were so big
who
for
looks
as
like
long
she
as they
even
were.
Have eyebrows.
Which one?
J-Lo's eyebrows.
They're very small.
They're very small.
Oh my god. Oh, wow. You know, I like conjured an image of Christina Aguilera from her so-called dirty period. And then I saw an actual picture of her, and there's so much more underboob than
there's
I remember
so
there being.
There's so much underboob. Like, yeah. I remember that outfit.
Wow, 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 wow.
Yeah, that was a big deal.
Okay.
Oh. Well, I just saw a picture of Justin and Kelly, which reminded me that Spice World is actually written by the same person who wrote From Justin to Kelly, which allegedly is a better movie. But I've never seen that one either.
I've never seen that one. I've listened to the How Did This Get Made enough times that I actually feel like I've seen the movie, but I have not seen it. It's one of my favorite episodes.
Kelly Clarkson's eyebrows are very small in this picture, and I think that's Paula Abdul that she's standing next to, who has even tinier eyebrows. Oh, Nelly and his face band-aid.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Avril Lavigne.
Loved her. That was me at 12.
With Kelly Osbourne.
Yeah. I did not love her at the time. I thought she was a poser.
Uh-huh.
But now I, without any shame whatsoever, will sing Complicated at the top of my lungs.
That whole album is great.
It's so good.
Is it?
Yes. I'll have to take it's a really listen. Good. It's still good.
Poor Avril Lavigne. She got a real bad rap.
She did.
Have you seen the rumors about how she died and there's a doppelganger living
but
her life?
What's really sad about that is that like she's actually like come out and said like I've been dealing with Lyme disease for like several years and it's like had a really large impact on my life and my appearance, and like if you could please stop talking about how I might be dead, that would be great. So I don't appreciate that, but there's somebody else that there are those weird rumors. Oh, Andrew WK, that he's been like replaced with a replicant.
Really? Because he seems like he's been the same for 25 years.
I thought that too, and then I looked at some like conspiracy theory pictures and was like, okay, I'd believe it. I mean, I don't actually believe it, but I could if I wanted to. I wish that you, Jordan, enjoyed Spice World as much as Allie and I did. I'm sorry that you didn't.
That's okay. Sometimes you gotta take a hit for this podcast.
Yeah. I just feel like we haven't like had anything really good in a while.
Yeah. Maybe just nothing's good anymore.
Everything is terrible.
Maybe it's all ruined.
Yeah, that's probably true. Which is as good a place as any to end a podcast. So, you can find more wistful thinking wherever you get your podcasts and at cageclub.me. Allie, do you have anything that you want to talk about and or promote?
Nope.
Okay. How about you, Jordan?
Also, nope.
Also, no. Okay. Cool.
Just listen to Wistful Thinking.
There you go.
And if you want to see how I spend all my time, I'm on Instagram at JordoPC. It's mostly circus videos that are not even very good, but I spend all my time, so.
They're
cool,
definitely
though. She does
cool
things.
I'm impressed.
Cool flying things.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks.
I'm also very impressed. I was on a recent episode of P.S. I Love Hoffman, another podcast here on the Cage Club Podcast Network about the work of Philip Seymour Hoffman. We talked about one of the Hunger Games movies, the second one, even though I accidentally watched the first one, and then we had to reschedule. Because he's like not in the second one very much, and I remembered that, so it was entirely plausible that I could watch an entire movie and then 10 minutes before the end realize that he was never going to show up.
Yeah.
Which was what happened. But I did watch Catching Fire eventually, and we did podcast about it, so go check that out. It was also on their Patch Adams episode a long time ago. And I have another podcast called... Were you going to say something?
No, you finished. Sorry, I thought of a thing I could plug.
Oh, okay. I also have another podcast called In Sickness and in Health. You can find that at insicknesspod.com and wherever you get your podcasts. And Jordan thought of something.
I was on one of the recent episodes of Watch the Throne.
Oh yeah, you were.
Sweet November. If you want to hear me talk about hot dogs.
About what?
About how it was a terrible movie. Go listen to that.
Hot dogs.
Oh.
Hot dogs. Yep.
Okay.
There's a really fantastic Keanu Reeves hot dog speech. And, oh, well, Allie, I've made you watch that, the gymnastics movie that Keanu Reeves was in. And I'm sure I made you watch the hot dog scene more than once.
No? I still need to
maybe
see that.
I don't know.
Keanu Reeves has a history with hot dogs that I think is hilarious.
I bet it is.
So that was three separate Keanu mentions in this podcast. Well, not... You mentioned The Matrix. You didn't distinctly mention Keanu Reeves. But anyway, go check out Keanu Club, cageclub.me. And we'll talk to you next time on Wistful Thinking. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.